Hey friend, welcome to Girls Night, where we work through life's biggest decisions and transitions together. I'm Stephanie Mae Wilson, and on this show, we talk about the everything era, that wildly confusing decade-ish, where we have to make some of the most significant decisions of our lives, typically all at the same time. If you're anything like me, it probably feels like a lot. How do you even know what you want out of life? And even once you figure that out, how do you make it happen? Well, thankfully, we don't have to figure this out alone. I've invited some of the smartest women I know onto the show to walk us through the topics that keep us up at night. We're going to learn from both their experience and their expertise, and you'll walk away not only knowing what your next step is, but with the support you need to actually take it. No matter who you are, where you come from, or what decisions you end up making, you're welcome here. Get comfy and let's get started. So I am so excited about today's episode. Today we're talking about how to decorate your home when you're not a professional home designer and when you also don't have an infinite budget. Decorating a home can be challenging because you spend all of your time in it and you want it to look and feel like you, but very few of us are like born knowing how to do that. There's so many different components to consider: decor, furniture, lighting, rugs. It's all so much and it all feels so expensive. And if you're anything like me, you're wondering, where do I even start? Well, thankfully, there are some guidelines we can follow that make this all so much easier. And I'm so excited for you to hear this episode. To walk us through all of this, I invited a Girls Night favorite back on the show, and that's my dear friend and home design enthusiast, Michael Lynn Smith. Michael Lynn, also known on social media as The Nester, believes that every home has a silver lining. She's created a beautiful home in 15 different houses, and she loves teaching how to create beauty in imperfect circumstances. She has a brand new book coming out called House Rules: How to Decorate for Every Home, Style, and Budget. And in it, she shares 100 universal decorating truths that apply to every house. One of my favorite rules that she shares is you can't ruin something you already hate. You'll hear more about that in the episode. This episode inspired me so much. I cannot wait for you to hear from her. You ready? Let's dive in. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As many of you know, I recently wrote a book, and while it was the most rewarding project of my career so far, it also came with a lot of hard work and long nights. And sometimes when things started to feel a little bit overwhelming, I needed to get a few things off my chest so I could clear my mind and keep the writing process flowing. And the thing that helped me so much to sort through those feelings was therapy. Now tell me if any of this sounds familiar. Maybe you're going through something really hard right now, a big loss or a gigantic life transition. Maybe you frequently feel anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, or just generally discouraged. Maybe you really, really, really want your life circumstances to change, but you don't know how to actually change them. Or maybe you're feeling stuck as you try to work through your past, navigate your present, or figure out your future. Friend, if you can relate to any of this, you're not alone. I've been there, and therapy has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else with all of this. In the last 10 years or so, I've learned that strength isn't proving I can do it on my own. It's knowing that I don't have to. I'm at my strongest when I have a full support system around me, and an essential part of my support system is therapy. Therapy can be absolutely life-changing. That is, if you can afford it and find a therapist you like and trust. But of course, this is easier said than done, and that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with this week's podcast sponsor. Our sponsor for today's episode is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the easiest and most affordable way I've ever found to find a great therapist. It's entirely online and super easy to sign up. You can get started right away, and if you don't love the counselor you're paired with, switching is easy and it's free. If you're going through something hard in your relationships, or if you're in a funk you just can't shake, if you've been feeling anxious or depressed lately, or if you're feeling stressed and you need help balancing your everyday life and schedule, BetterHelp is an incredible resource for you. And I'm so thankful that they've given me a promo code that I can share with you to make it even easier to get started. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/friendship today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/friendship. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Friends, springtime is finally here, but that also means allergy season is in full swing. I have always struggled with allergies, and I don't know about you, but I am especially allergic to cats. More on that in a second. Well, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. The time that I use Claritin the absolute most is when I'm at my parents' house, my childhood home. They have this absolutely beautiful cat that they love and I like, except for the fact that he sheds so much. So that means that I'm basically sneezing from the second I arrive home to the second I leave, unless I take Claritin. My dad has even started having it ready for me right when I walk in the door. Are you ready to live life as though you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Claritin, thank you so much for sponsoring our girls' night. We love having you. Okay, friends, I am so excited for who we have on the show today. I'm sitting here with my friend, Michaelyn Smith, who I have loved for ever, I'm pretty sure. Michaelyn, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Oh, it's a joy to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is so fun. Okay, so for women who haven't been as obsessed with your work for, a decade or something, as I have been, but are about to be, tell them who you are, what you do, and I'd love to hear a fun fact about you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like you said, my name is Michaelyn Smith. You know, when I first started on the internet 15 or so years ago, I thought it was full of killers. So I used a pretend name, The Nester. Now I just go by my regular old Michaelyn with a Q in it. But I see the world through house-colored glasses. I apply everything to our home. Home is my favorite place to be on earth. I'm a self-proclaimed imperfectionist, so I believe that it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. And I'm also a cozy minimalist, which means I want to get the most amount of my unique style with the least amount of stuff. So here on the internet, my goal is to help women create the home they've always wanted so that they can use it the way they've always dreamed. Like, what good is a pretty home if we're not actually using it? So I write books, I have classes, I do Instagram, I have a podcast, I do whatever it takes. I have a private community, whatever is best, for me to encourage the people. I try to meet you wherever you are. So the fun fact about me, of course, has to do with houses. And my husband and I have been married just about to be 29 years, and we have lived in 15 houses. It's too many houses.
That is so amazing. That is, we've almost been married 10, which is wild. And we've lived in, I guess, 4. So every time
it's
we
a lot.
No, this might be 5. I don't know. We've moved a lot. We've moved enough that when we tell people that we're moving, they roll their eyes, which I feel like is probably what you've gotten as well.
Yes. It's hard to remember your zip code.
Yes. Oh my gosh, the amount of numbers. And before you're in the front of your address, there's numbers. Your zip code has numbers. Your door code usually has some sort of numbers. It's a lot to remember. What caused you guys to move so much?
You know, it was different things. My husband changed jobs and he went back to school. He is also a visionary entrepreneur. So he would start different businesses. And I do think one of the things that we did right was if we would move to a new town, we always rented first for a year. So we would learn Where do we want to live? Where do we want to go to church? So although that was a big pain because it ensured that you moved a year later, it was helpful because we had in the past purchased a house that we regretted because it wasn't in the right part of town. And it, you know, then we had to sell it and it took forever. So we learned the hard way, but it does make for many moves.
Yes. Yes. Do you, so I'm so excited to talk to you today. One of the things that, so you and I were just talking, I haven't actually said this out loud because I haven't announced this yet, but by the time this comes out, this will be public knowledge. So this feels weird, but I have a book coming out as well. When, what exact day is your book birthday? Do we share a book birthday?
Oh gosh. No, I don't think so. I think mine comes out a week before yours, April 23rd. And when does yours come out?
April 30th. Yeah.
It's so exciting.
And so in the book though, because I told you, like, I'm not a professional decorator at all, but I'm a person who loves it. I love making spaces. And one of the things that I talk about in the book as I'm unpacking this idea of that there's not one right way to build a life, like it needs to serve you and you get to decide what this looks like. One of the ways that I see that the most clearly is through homes. And so I love watching the shows that are like, we took a firehouse and turned it into our house, or we did like this to our house and this is how we want to live. And I feel like that's just such a physical example of the fact that like, we really get to make this look like us. And so I love the fact that you're like, I love that that's part, so much a part of what you talk about is it, we're not trying to like, recreate this designer home, because then you have to care for a home that you may not actually like or live well in. Like, it has to serve you. And so I love that. I wanted to ask you, like, just before we get into it, is there anything that comes to mind that you've seen someone else do or like that you've kind of stumbled upon that's like a creative use of house that has just been like, I did not even think of that? Or like, that is so cool. Or what a weird thing. I love that you felt the freedom to do that. Or something that you've done. Started putting
you
on the spot here.
You are totally putting me on the spot. And now I'm going to think of this in the middle of the night and I'm going to have a great answer for you. Yes. So then I'll call you or text you and we'll talk about it. I don't have an answer right off, but I feel like you do.
Ah, you know what? I tell this story in the book. We were given, so I have two three-year-olds. I have three-year-old twins. And we were, a package arrived on our doorstep like maybe a year ago. And it was a bouncy house, like a bouncy castle. But we didn't open it for a while. We're like, what is this? Like, we didn't order it. We called Amazon. We're trying to send it back. We're like, was this a gift? It wasn't a gift. We didn't order it. It literally showed up with like some floss on our doorstep, like as an accident, like an Amazon accident. And so they're like, you can either throw it away or you can donate it or like whatever. We're like, well, I guess we might as well open it and see like see how big it is. Well, it turns out it wasn't actually that big. Like, it fit under normal ceilings and it was really hot. It was the middle of the summer in Tennessee. We needed our kids to get some like energy out. And so we pushed our dining room table that had not been used in forever. We're not in our like hosting era necessarily right now. We pushed our beautiful dining room table over and blew up this bouncy house. And like, we live with a bouncy house in our dining room now. And it's just like, what a perfect use of space when you have two toddlers, right?
That is incredible. Will you be my mom? Even though I think I'm old enough to be your mom. I love that so much. That's the best example ever.
It was just such a funny thing where I was like, and you know what? The thing that actually inspired it was I saw this girl on Instagram who has created this Etsy shop where she like decorates the top of graduation caps and it's like blown up. And she was talking about her house and she was saying that she outgrew her office that was in a spare bedroom. And so she decided to swap her main bedroom for her spare bedroom, sleep in the spare bedroom and make her office like the bigger bedroom because that's where she needed more space. And I was like, what in the world? Why haven't I done that? Or like, why? I thought that your main bedroom has to be where you sleep. Like, absolutely not. Why would that be the case? Like, you get to choose. And so then I think it was a couple of days later that the bouncy house showed up and I was like, wait a minute. I can do that.
You know, I think if more people had your mindset with that, we would probably move a lot less and think we need a different house if we just redefine what these unused rooms are in our own house. It's so smart.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with Viking Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
I think I didn't realize that you that some of the rules aren't rules at all. But then there are some, which gets to your book, which is a genius transition, everybody. Look at that. Your book is called House Rules, How to Decorate for Every Home, Style, and Budget. Tell us about this book. This is your fourth, which is amazing. I have all the other
three. Oh, I'm so glad. This is the fourth. And let me just say a disclaimer. It's kind of scary to name a book House Rules when I'm a girl who doesn't believe in rules. But for the exact reason that you're saying, I believe we learn the rules. And rule number one is so that we can break them beautifully and with confidence. So the way this book came about was I had written three books. I'm like, oh, this is so great. Look how I'm helping people with my three beautiful books. And I was out and about in town and I met a girl and she said, oh, I have all of your books. They're sitting on my coffee table. But she kind of like hunched over to me and like she was telling me a secret. She said, but I haven't really done anything. I haven't made any changes yet because I don't know. I just feel like I wasn't really born with a decorating gene. And I don't know. I just can't really pull that off. And I don't think I heard anything else. All I could think about was I have failed. I have not served my reader well because I'm a teacher and she believes that you're either born with a decorating gene and you're not, and that it couldn't be further from the truth. But, you know, as a human, I relate to that because I can remember, well, I have lots of examples, but I think the most maybe one that people can relate to is just in elementary school. You know, every Friday we get that spelling test. On Monday, they give you the spelling words, and I always dreaded Fridays because I would get a D or even an F on my spelling test because I didn't realize that you were allowed to study for your spelling words. I thought that you were tested on what you knew. This is, you know, elementary school, Michael, and I thought, well, you either know them or you don't, and they want to know if you know them, and I don't. It wasn't until a teacher came and told me, like, oh, no, we expect you to learn. That's the whole point. You're supposed to learn your spelling words. And here are some tools. You can study with your friends. You can study with your mom. You can I before E, except after C. There's like fun little things that you can remember. And suddenly I realized, oh, everyone out there getting an A in spelling, they're not necessarily born knowing how to spell all these difficult words. They learned how to spell the words. And it's the exact same thing with decorating. It's just making decisions in a right order or in a better order. And that's how you can decorate your house. And what a great thing to know. And as a teacher, that's what House Rules does. It's like 100 little decorating truths, just like I before E, except after C, only they have to do with your house. But they're just as like quirky and memorable and kind of dumb, but they help you make decisions.
Love it so much. I really, like, I have really felt that there are people who are born with this and people who aren't. And I think, you know, I would say that I'm not. Like, I wasn't born knowing how to just style something. But I've been around people who are really good at this. Like, my mother-in-law, for example, she just makes beautiful things wherever she goes. And I've watched her and I'm like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. And I've basically copied her for long enough that now I'm like, oh, I have a different idea. Like, well, I saw you do this. Well, I can do this instead, you know? And like, I feel like I really have learned a few things over the last 10 years or so. And that's just a really cool thing to remember that, like, I don't know if people are actually born with this, but it can be learned.
I agree. And what a great way to learn. Just watch someone do what they do and then be like, oh, wait a second. That's not quite me. That I think that's wisdom right there.
I love that. Talk to me about, like, I mean, you have been working with women on their houses for so long. What are some of the, like, why is this so hard? What are some of the hangups that, I guess, other than thinking that you need to be born with it, that you see women like running into?
Well, I think right now we're very bombarded with gorgeous images on television, on Pinterest, on Instagram. And so we look up from those beautifully styled images. A lot of them had a team of people or had a professional influencer style that particular corner and wait for ideal lighting. It's almost just like someone's wedding photo. That much time has gone into those. And then we look up from that picture and we see our own house. And man, it doesn't measure up at all. And we feel overwhelmed and like we don't know where to start. And, you know, a lot of times we'll have paint samples taped to the wall or we'll have a budget. And our husband is asking us why we're not buying the sofa. It's because we're terrified because the last time we bought a sofa, 2 days later, we secretly hated it and we don't want to waste the money. So we're afraid to make a wrong decision. And sometimes I think it just feels safer to do nothing than to do something incorrectly. And I totally understand that. I felt that 15 different times with every room in my house. So I think if we can be encouraged in how to take a baby step in a way that doesn't feel risky, that is how we build our confidence. That's exactly what I like to help people with, is taking those small, less risky steps. Don't start out by buying a custom sofa. Start out with something that you have. I like to say, you can't ruin something you already hate. It's actually one of the house rules. So if there's something in your house, you know, if you have a little nightstand in your garage and you're thinking, maybe I would like to paint furniture. Maybe, you know, everyone's using black or that deep, muddy brick red is really on trend right now. Well, instead of going out and buying it, but also instead of painting your favorite dresser, go get that little thing you hate, paint it inside your office in the corner. You don't have to show everyone. If you hate it, take it to the Goodwill. Like, start small. Build your confidence so that you feel better about making those bigger decisions.
That is, like, I can't stop giggling about that. That is so genius. You can't ruin something you already hate. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love that. I'm like scouring, I'm like looking around. Like, what can I
What do I hate?
Yeah, what do I hate? Alaska. You've said that in the new book, there are, how many rules are there?
Is it there are 100.
Oh, God bless you.
It's so fun. So each page is like a photo and the rule, and it's a quick little read. It's almost like a devotional for a house, but it's not. I mean, it's a big, beautiful decorating book.
Oh, my gosh.
But you'll get a rule on one side, and then you'll get a picture showing kind of what that rule in action on the other side. And hopefully you'll read it and say, oh, I get that, and get up and go, whatever it is. Make a quick change.
I mean, we just talked about photos and how getting the timing right and the lighting right and everything is like styling a wedding photo, and you did it 100 times. And writing a devotional is hard. I've written a devotional. Like, 100 days is so much. You deserve a nap and a massage and a high five and all the things.
Well, listen, it is my job and my kids are grown, and this, I had the house to myself for the first time ever in my life because everyone is at work. And now this is my full-time job and it's the only way that I could do it.
Oh man. Okay. All right. That makes me feel better. okay. So tell us a couple more of the like universal rules. Like we talked about, according to Michael and Smith, the nester, it is okay that I put a bouncy house in my dining room. So there aren't that many rules, but what are some of the rules where it's like, no, really, this will get you closer to the like result that you're looking for? An I before E,
absolutely.
Except after C.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to create rules that apply to every home and every style and every budget. So they are kind of general. So like, for example, contrast is queen if you want to be seen. So if you are, let's say you're styling a mantle and your fireplace is white and your mantle is white and your walls are white and you're like, I need artwork. Well, wherever it is that you go for artwork, I want you to consider adding contrast if you want that artwork to be seen. Now, a lot of times when we are purposely styling a vignette, we want every item in the vignette to actually be visible because mm-hmm. that's what we're doing. We're decorating. So you would not go to Target and buy a white framed painting with a really light, unless you just want hardly any contrast in your home. most of us are going to want to add contrast so that we can visibly see and have visible impact. That same with that, you know, the most amount of style with the least amount of stuff. Now, it's the same. Let's say you have a really dark room. Well, if you add a dark rug and a dark chandelier and dark sofa, like all of these darks, visibly, it's going to read as just one kind of dark blob. But if you have something really bright, it's going to pop out and come forward. And so it's just a rule to keep in mind when you are out shopping and you're deciding between two candlesticks. I love this white one. I love this black one. Well, contrast is queen if you want to be seen. Am I going to be putting this in front of a dark wall or on a dark table? Do I want it to pop? And so they're just little quick questions you can run through. Another one, well, I just believe that every home has a silver lining. So that's just an encouraging one of every home is worthwhile and has something redeemable. And I believe a lot of times, you know, I believe in lovely limitations. The limitations lead us to innovations. So if there is something in your home and like you think, that is the worst. Like I have the worst kitchen. It's just a galley. It's so small. I think so many times those are the opportunities for us to get creative. Those are the features that we see in those beautiful home decor magazines. I would say 9 times out of 10, those little special moments that they feature started out as a limitation, started out as something where the homeowner was like, that's the worst. What am I going to do with that? Some other house rules, it doesn't have to be symmetrical to be balanced. And so thinking about the difference between that. Oh, I love this one. The art of the mirror is what it reflects. So when you are thinking about where you're going to put a mirror in your house, I love mirrors because they reflect our beautiful home. However, let's say you are in your family room and you want a mirror over your fireplace and you think, you know what? I'm just going to lean it. I don't even have to hang it. That's great. But you lean your mirror and suddenly what it reflects is your old dusty ceiling fan that you hate. Well, now it's not only like you have two ceiling fans that you've hated, but it almost looks like you have framed a picture of a ceiling fan and put it over your mantle. So when we consider what the reflection is, when we put a mirror somewhere, if we're reflecting something that we love, we get like a double win. When you reflect something you hate, you might not even know. You just have this low-grade feeling of, it doesn't quite look like what I wanted.
That is so, like, I can picture it perfectly. I can picture it perfectly. And I totally would have that where I'm like, this is, something's wrong. But like, I don't know. I think, is that, for those of us who like, don't know why we don't necessarily like something, but know that we don't like something, is that like, we should probably start listening to that more, right?
Yes, that is my 100% job as an Enneagram 5. I want to figure out, it's not enough. Like, I think we all need an influencer we can imitate. We all need someone who's like, get these jeans. This pillow is amazing. You should go buy it. I want those. I need those in my life. But I need the mindset. Why does this look hideous and why does this look great? Yeah. And I want to figure that out. It's like my whole reason that I do what I do and I teach what I teach. Like, why does this thing look great over my mantle in this house and in my last house? It looked ridiculous. There is a reason. And that's what these house rules teach you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, can I have like two more house rules?
Oh, okay. If it sits out, make it stand out. So whether we say it is or not, everything that is sitting out in our house is a decoration. It is adding to the visual look of our home. And so, listen, I'm the worst at this. If we have a box of Goodwill donations sitting by the back door for 4 weeks straight, we are saying we're decorating with that. If we are putting, you know, our red Kleenex box and then the blue Dawn and then the bright green scrub brush and then my old raggedy Ragnix, that's fine. I'm not saying you're not allowed to have that. But what I'm doing is saying is everything that sits out is a decoration. And we are visibly adding to the things in our home. So why not have those everyday little things that are, you know, we work so hard to pick our paint color. And then we put all these little random everyday things out that we don't think about. Just pick the pretty one. Pick the pretty dish rag. And then guess what? You don't even have to decorate your kitchen because it just looks great. Let's see another one. I'm just going to have to, let me just open the book, and see what a good rule is. Just because it costs less doesn't mean you're saving money. I think we all know that, but it's a good rule to remember. And I tell a story about how I had to learn that the hard way because I was totally impatient and I wanted to save money and it cost me money.
Yes. I feel like that's one of the things I've never been able to put like a name to it, but I think that's one of the things that my mother-in-law is so magic about is that she really does pick her everyday things are beautiful. And so like, I'm thinking about her like crap to go upstairs or downstairs basket is like really beautiful. And it's like full of the same junk that mine is, but mine's just sitting on the stairs or like in like a cardboard box or whatever. And hers is in like a basket. She has baskets for everything. Or like, yeah, her scrub brush is really pretty. And it, like, that is so, man, if it sits out, it's decor. Like, so choose accordingly.
And now once you realize that, you can't unsee it. You will notice it everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You're welcome and I'm sorry.
Oh, you're welcome and I'm sorry. I love that. I have to ask, is that a ribbon behind you on the wall?
So behind me this is a piece of art. It's on wood and then cut and painted. It's by a friend of mine who's an artist. Her name is Angela Trusecki Blem, and she does all kinds of cool art pieces. And this is my favorite thing. It kind of looks like I have, depending on where I sit, like horns, but I don't care. Isn't it beautiful? So it's about 3/4 inch thick, like when you go from the side.
Oh my gosh. It is so cool. It is so cool. I had to ask because anyone who's watching on YouTube is like, what is that?
I'm so glad you asked.
I love that. Okay. I'm going to be looking her up afterwards. That's actually a question. So art, I feel like, is hard. And even if you have, I feel like my budget for decorating my house is probably bigger than it's ever been, or at least it was before I started paying for daycare. Now it's small again. But even so, it's like, okay, well, I can maybe afford to buy like a side table. Whereas before I was like, ooh, like we're just going to go without one. It feels like art is the thing that like there's just never money for. Do you have any like hacks or like really this looks good if you, or like this is an easy way or get it here or something like that? Because that is like, I currently need several art pieces. I have some really big blank walls that I'm trying to fill. I'm like, I don't know how to do it.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, artists, step 4, when you work through the phases of the order of decor, and that's why it's almost like the landscaping after you build a house, you don't always have the money for it. But I think it's something as we get older for, we can save for over time. So this is one of those pieces I save for, but I am really picky about art. And I think a lot of us are. We don't just want to go to Kirkland's, nothing wrong with that, but we want it to feel personal. We want it to work with what we have. So I, a lot of times, have learned to kind of create my own art. So what I do is if I have just, and we've all seen that kind of thing, like you have an old canvas, you're kind of done with it, or you grab one from the Goodwill, and all I'll do is just spill different color paints on it, drip, whatever. It works best if you can be okay with more of the modern look. But even on the cover of my book, that's what this is. It's a piece of art from like the at-home store that I covered up and painted just over a couple of days. I put a sheet on the floor, grab my excess wall paint. Canvases don't care. You don't have to have special paint, and then lay it against the wall. And it naturally goes with every room in your house because you've used all of your own colors. And that is how I do all my, I have 2 pieces down here. Now what I do is I look for beautiful frames. I went to an estate sale. I found a gorgeous frame. And so I just cut like a piece of thick cardboard out. It's like right here. I almost should grab it for you and show you.
Grab it. Show it.
What I do is I think it's fun if we all have artists. I want everyone to have artists they aspire to. And I have a few that I hope to collect their art. Josh Young is one of them. Angela
Josh Young's
is another
one of mine.
One.
He's actually maybe my only one. I'm like,
okay, so he's incredible. And I want a piece of his original art. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, I can be inspired by him and I will make my own art, not copying him. And I certainly don't ever copy an artist and try to sell it. You want to be hated faster than anyone. Yep. But this is my frame that I got from, so there's a gilded gold frame. And then the spirit of Josh Young, I just made lots of squiggles in the random paint color I have. And it is so fun and beautiful. And this looks like a museum piece. And the frame was $25 from an estate sale, a piece of cardboard that I painted over. When you are out and about, when you are at the thrift stores, look for frames and ignore the art. You're going to find the most hideous art with the most gorgeous frames that go with your style. You might not like gold gilded frame. You might like a modern thin frame. You might, whatever it is. So this transcends the style, but think about what can you do to it? You can't ruin something you already hate. The frame, the art in here was ridiculous. I might've painted over the art. Sometimes I'll paint over it. Sometimes I pop it out and already have something made, but experiment. And again, no one has to see it. You just take it back to the Goodwill if it looks ridiculous.
That is, I love that so much. I love that so much. And that's so, I'm not kidding. I could name zero like contemporary artists where I'm like, they make art now and I would like to buy it now. The one, the one that I know about.
He's incredible.
And his townhome that he like styles for, I just can't.
Yes.
We'll link to it in the show notes, you guys. Don't buy it though because they go so fast. And no, buy it because I can't
yes.
do that right now.
No, it's my dream. One day I will own a piece of his work, but until then I will enjoy it. And if you link to him in your show notes, please everyone pay attention to how he uses lamps. I hope one day he creates a lighting line for us. He is the king of layering your light, which is a house rule. We underestimate the power that layered lights have. When we just rely on that overhead light, especially once you get my age, you don't just want that fluorescent, awful, shadowy light. You want beautiful, warm, filtered light coming through a shade and little layers that you can control. It is the magic of a home.
Do you have a light bulb that you go to?
Not in particular. I look at the package and I want those Kelvins, whatever it is, I want it to be as warm as possible. The warmest light bulb I can get is what I buy.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. Because I feel like I know light matters.
Yes.
But I'm like, I stand in the aisle at Target or, you know, Home Depot or whatever. And I'm like, you lost me at the Kelvin. I'm like, So just as warm as possible.
Yep. Just warm. Remember, warm.
Okay. Okay. I love it. Okay. You talked about how there are stages to like where you, like an order of operations, basically. And the art's the last one. Can you walk us through like what are the, because I think that's probably why we're not doing so great, right? Like,
yes, I think a lot of us are actually making really good decorating decisions. I think we know what we like, but I think we make them in the wrong order. So here is the basic order. First, your seating, your surfaces, and your storage. Now, if you're doing a bedroom, your bed is part of that. If you're doing a dining room, your dining room table is the surface. That is the very first decision that you make. If you have a budget and you hate or don't have seating surfaces and storage for a room where you need it, that is where your budget needs to focus on. So that's the first thing you get in place. Once you have those things in place, you move to step two. I call it the homey trinity. That is your rugs, your drapes, and your lighting. The reason why you have to make your decisions in order. I know, isn't that crazy?
That's so good.
Your seating placement informs the exact size rug that you need. When you pick out your rug before you get your seating, you're guessing. You have to have your seating in the room, in the area that you want, exactly where you want it. And then, because we have these house rules and you want the front feet, at least the front feet of all of your main seating to be on the rug, now you can confidently go forth and buy your rug. So you get your rugs, you consider if you need drapes, and then you add your lighting. Then, now we're on to walls. I know a lot of people will say, oh, you move into a house and you pick your wall color. Sometimes we do have to do that. But ideally, in a perfect world, especially if you're maybe thinking about changing your wall color, I want you to get your seating surfaces and storage in. I want you to layer in your rugs, get your drapes up. Now the world is your oyster when it comes to paint color. You can pick out a bazillion paint colors, but do you know how hard it is if you get your paint on the wall? And then you find a beautiful green sofa that isn't quite right. You either have to repaint the walls. It is much easier to let your sofa boss down. So this is like priority. So now is the time to pick your paint color. now is the time to decide on your wall treatment. So every wall has what I call a wall treatment. You and I, we both have paint on our walls. Mm-hmm. Some people have wallpaper, some people have beadboard or, you know, some type of molding, or we go from that. After the wall treatment, we do wall art. So wall art is anything that hangs on your wall. Mm-hmm. And the third thing that no one ever talks about because it's not fun and sexy is wall Sabbaths. We need to allow some space on our walls to be empty. Think about those museums that we go to. The reason that they have some empty space is so those pieces that deserve our attention receive it. And so don't be afraid to allow some empty space on your walls.
How do you Go ahead.
I forgot. I'm going to tell you one last step is the accessories. That's step five. The end. Okay.
How do you know when like a wall is too empty or I'm looking at a blank wall. How do you know if that's a good space for a wall? You said wall Sabbath, wall Sabbath, or if it feels like hospital, you know, like where's the difference there?
Well, here's the thing. Decorating is both an art and a science. And every person gets to decide for themselves if it feels like it's too empty or if it's too full. There are some rules in general we can go by. If you are hanging artwork over a piece, to me, they're in a relationship together. And so there is a rule of thumb. Say, like I have a daybed. And the daybed is really big. And believe it or not, this ribbon above it is huge. Mm. And so there is a proportion. Usually the artwork is about 2/3 the size of what it's hanging over. That proportion is part of the golden ratio. Egyptians did it with the pyramids. It feels right to the human eye. Now, we all get to decide in our own home. We might want to play. We might want to break that rule. We might want to go really tiny like the Swedes do, but a tiny little thing. We might want to go oversized. So you can do that. But I want you to break the rules because you're confident it's going to look better, not because you don't know better.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. I love that. I love that. You mentioned getting the seating, the surfaces, and the storage first, in each room has kind of some different things. Can you talk us through probably the living room and main bedroom? What are some of the main components that we need to have in those places in order for it to be kind of finished?
Yes. Well, I have a private cozy community where I teach the five phases of decor. I have a book about it. There are lots of tiny little steps to get you in the right mindset, but I believe it first starts with you deciding what activities are going to happen in that room and for how many people. Because until you know that, what I need in my family room might be really different than what you need right now with 3-year-old twins, did you say, mm-hmm. in your family room. And you might need a big coffee table with two little kid chairs pulled up and a place to store crafts. So that's going to dictate your storage. So you have to start with what is it and how do you need this room to serve you? That being said, I can tell you that the things that I see that most of us, if I had to really generalize and say what people are missing, and if I had to blindly go into someone's house and bring some things and hope I could help them, it is that homey trinity. Most of us, what we're getting right and what we're getting wrong, we got the furniture. You know, we got a place to sit. We have a coffee table. We are neglecting that homey trinity, the right size rug, because we thought we could get away with a 5x8 rug, and we know now it's too small, but the other one was $70 more. We don't have enough lighting. Oh my gosh, we can barely see in here. We're resorting to the overhead light. You know, your living room, I think mine has, 9 lights in it, not the overhead, just little lamps and sconces and reading lights. Layer those lamps. It will change your life. And window treatments. Window treatments don't take up any room on our surfaces. So they're like a minimalist best friend. They add softness. But drapes were created to cover the wall, not the window, which is another house rule. So when you hang your drapes high and wide, yes. So yeah, functional drapes, sometimes we need our window treatments to like right now, I have got some sun coming through. And so I have some of my drapes closed. I want them when I need them to function, to provide privacy and light control. But when they are in their beautiful natural state, they don't cover my windows. I want every ounce of sunlight and beautiful view I can have. They cover my wall, which is why in the order of decor, they come before wall art. Because if you choose your wall art first and hang it in the middle of the wall, then you put your drapes up. If you hang your drapes correctly, high and wide, they're covering up some of the wall. And now your art's not centered anymore. So you see how the order makes all the difference? It saves us from everything.
I am like, my mind is blown. This is so awesome. This is so awesome.
Yes. And you can pick out whatever drapes you want. You know, it's that's why it's not about the style. It's just about like learning these little rules. And you're like, oh, duh, just raise the drapes.
Oh my gosh. I feel like, I'm trying to think of who moved recently. Like one of my friends moved recently and they were like, okay, we need to paint the walls first because we don't want to move all our stuff in and then have to whatever. So we're trying to, we're starting with wall color. And like, that makes sense. I get that. Mm-hmm. But also I wonder if like, yeah, if you get it wrong, like that stinks. And also I do know, honestly, from you, most likely that painting is the cheapest way to make such a difference, like the cheapest, easiest way to totally transform a room, right? So it's like, it makes sense that that wouldn't be the thing that you hinge everything else around.
Yes, it's so counterintuitive. And there have been times that I've had to paint first. I do believe it's, if you're going to do a neutral, it's easier to do maybe a neutral that you've experienced before. So I did have a room here in our house. I know my colors and I know my furniture. And I knew that in this front room, I just do white walls and I do a reverse trim. I know what colors are going to work. But for the rest of my house, I ended up having it painted the same color. But we were hiring painters and I had a book I had to take photos for. I waited for some rooms, I waited 6 months. I wanted to get to know the rooms, the mood, the sunlight. And I ended up using the colors that I thought, but I didn't want to get it wrong because painting is such a pain if you get it wrong. And I, you know, you just have to think, you choose your trouble, another house rule. Would you rather have to buy a different sofa or just wait to get your wall color chosen? I don't know about you, but I would much rather just be a little patient with myself and live with the room for a while, even if the wall color is wrong, instead of have to buy an all new sofa to go with my $50 can of paint.
Is the sofa the hardest thing or is it just me?
I think the sofa is the hardest thing because it's the largest thing, because it's usually the most expensive thing, and because historically it's something that we women have not gotten right. So my tip to choose a sofa that you don't hate tomorrow, and I had to learn this the hard way by buying a sofa. My husband and I had a budget. We bought a sofa. I didn't know what to do when we were in the store. And so, oh, whatever you want, honey, is fine. And then the day it was delivered, I gave it dirty looks for the next 5 years. If you are unsure about a sofa, you want to think, well, what has stood the test of time? And one way to know what has stood the test of time is to look back in old decorating books, to look back at your mom's Better Homes and Gardens, and you'll begin to see these silhouettes, these shapes of sofas that will have the ugliest fabric you've ever seen. But the shape is there. You're going to see a tuxedo shape. You're going to see a Chesterfield. You're going to see a Camelback. These sofas have names. You're going to see an English roll arm sofa. You will begin to get familiar with shapes that no matter what the trends say, no matter what the color of the year is, these shapes can work because they have stood the test of time. If you are unsure about a sofa, you might not get, you know, we all have colors that in your sofa's not going to last for 25 years, but you might be able to get it recovered if you buy the right sofa. And so buy a sofa with a name, buy a sofa with history, and you will not hate it the day after it's delivered.
That, so the thing that we end up hating is like when we pick trendy ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. When you pick a sofa based on what it does, it reclines. It has a remote control in it. Those are the sofas we women hate. Don't pick a sofa based on what it does. You want to pick a sofa based on its shape.
That's so funny. Hey, the mental pictures here are just fantastic.